Turn your Bible with me to John chapter 1, verse 43. Yes, we are going to finish John chapter 1 today. We've only been doing it for 7 weeks anyway. Many of you remember my comment. It says, I said, if your opinion contradicts what the Bible says, that proves that you are wrong. Because God's word is correct all the time. Yes, I still stand on that comment and without any hesitation. But what if there are two truths mentioned in the Bible, somewhat those truths seems like contradicting to one another? Does it mean that one of them is wrong? If one of them is wrong, that proves that the Bible is wrong. You with me so far? That means the Bible should be chucked out, because it advocates both truth. Now, since I'm thoroughly confused you, let me draw a picture and make an illustration. Let's say this is an illustration, not real. See that guy, John Rob, over there? He's trying to hide, but that's why he's sitting way in the back. Let's say John has a distant relative, his uncle, distant uncle, whom he does not know well, but he was dying, so he gave all of his wealth of $200 million to John. Yeah, you love John, right? Since John is such a nice guy, he said he's going to cover entire expense for all of us to go to Israel for free. Okay, he's going to charter the special airplane from LL. There is picture? There, thank you. It's the official airline from Israel. And he chartered this 737 so we can fly from Tucson to Tel Aviv, Israel, nonstop. Sounds great. And he's going to do that. And to make that happen, LL had to contact FAA, Federal Aviation Administration. Also, they have to contact ICOA, ICAO, International Civilian Aviation Organization. They control all the airspace around the world. They have to know the flight pattern and flight schedule going from Tucson, Arizona, all the way to Tel Aviv, Israel. Everything had to be recorded. Everything had to be followed exactly, altitude and the course. By doing so, it's been decreed it cannot be changed. However, before you get on that plane, all of you have a choice. You can say, okay, it's free. I'm going to go. I'm going to join the rest of the congregation. We're going to go to Israel. Or you can say, well, I don't like John, so I'm not going to go to Israel with them at his expense, but I'll go to Israel at my own expense. I'll make my way to Israel. You can refuse. Even within the airplane, you have a choice. Let's say we are all in the airplane, and I'm the stewardess doing this. There is all that stuff. There's the exit door. And you can sleep, you can eat, you can listen to music, or you can pray entire flight because you're scared of flying. You can do all of that your own free will. While you're doing all that, the plane still fly from Tucson to Tel Aviv. Are you with me so far? So plane is already designated before you got on board. Before you decide to go with this trip, before you leave home, it's already been designated when it was chartered. In the meanwhile, you have your own free will. See, this illustration is a pretty good illustration about God's predestination and election and human free will. You're thinking, okay, this is something where I'm going to grind the X. Because a lot of theologians are at each other's, and as a matter of fact, they literally fight. In church history, they literally fought against one another between Calvinists and Arminianists. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, your word says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Indeed, we are needy people. Give us insight and fresh vision, clear mind to understand your word by speaking to our heart. Father, we pray for the President Obama. And you may extend your grace and mercy to him that he may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we pray for our armed forces personnel and the law enforcement people and firefighters. We're asking you to put your hedge of protection around them and keep them safe. Especially the ones who are in the Afghanistan, Iraq, they may return to their home as a victor soon and join their family. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 43 of chapter 1, please. The following day that Jesus wanted to go to the Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Note that word. Jesus went to Philip to the Galilee. Now the Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. From the last Sunday study, we found that two of John's, the Baptist's disciples joined Jesus to be his disciples with their own free will. And one of them, Andrew, brought his brother, older brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. In verse 43 and 44, we find the Lord Jesus went out to see Philip in Bethsaida, who is from the Bethsaida. See, that he's a Sea of Galilee, he's a Capernaum, and he's a Bethlehem. I'm sorry, Bethsaida, not Bethlehem, it's way down here. I'm sorry. Anyway, in the Cana that we are going to find the next chapter, from chapter 2, that's where we're going to go there for the wedding ceremony and reception. This is the show around the Galilee. Obviously, it's a fishing town, and it's, as a matter of fact, the definition of the Bethsaida means house of fish. Andrew and Peter and John, all of them were pretty much fishermen. See, this is out of norm when you think about it, in typical sense of the ancient rabbi. Ancient rabbi never go look for his disciples, a man to seek to be disciples of the rabbi whom he respect. Another thing we must notice is that Jesus didn't stumble upon Philip at Bethsaida. He purposely went to Bethsaida near the Sea of Galilee to meet Philip. He went there. This shows the omniscient attribute of Jesus Christ as God. He knows all things. In case you are not familiar with the term omniscient, it means all-knowing. God, only God has this ability, not your mom. She just makes you to think that she knew everything when you were a kid. You know, you thought that your mom had eyes on the back of her head. I did too. God is the only one who knows everything. By God's sovereign will, the born-again Christian believers are predestined. If I explain this in a simpler way, here it is. God, before the creation of the universe, designated all born-again believers to be his chosen people. God designated them all. Then I know someone will say, well, that is completely unfair. Let's say God designated everybody to be his chosen people, and I'm not one of the chosen people. If I want to be a born-again Christian, there's no way I can be. because every slot is filled. I have a perfect answer for that. Just commit your life to Jesus Christ. You'll find that you are born again. You are chosen. And another person will say, well, hey, whoa. It sounds like time out. It sounds like God is trying to shove down his salvation to me. That's not cool. Well, what if I don't want to follow God's way? Well, I have another answer for him. Well, that proves that you are not chosen. Right? Am I making sense to you? Or one person says, I want to follow God. And he follow God, he's chosen. And the other person says, I don't want to follow God. I'm going to make my way to God or to heaven. Not his way, but my way. Guess what? You are not chosen. Remember the illustration I drew? I don't want to go with that flight. I'm going to make my own way to get to Israel. You follow me? Let's stop here and get the definition of a sovereign God. Sovereignty of God. It is God's absolute right to do all things according to his own good pleasure. His complete right to do anything he wants. And some people will say, that doesn't sound right. I mean, he had to understand we are people too. Yeah, we are people created by him. Let me put it this way, in another term. If we insist that God should walk with us, that means we are bringing him down to our level. Am I correct? In other words, we are deifying him and bring him down. We are making him dehumanized. And we are elevating our position to his level. We are not equal. Do you understand me? Are you guys hot? Okay. My hot flesh is kicking in again. See, we are not never been equal from the beginning. God is God. We are not. If you are thinking that you are somewhat equal to God and you can deal with God, guess what? Here's one answer for you. You are wrong. You understand that? We are not God. If you're trying to be equal with God, then you can create your own actual universe, have your own oxygen, and make yourself another one of yourself completely from the scratch, make your own universe and go in there, and then you can be equal with God. Since God owned everything, he can tell us whatever he chooses to tell us. Keep your finger in John and go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 21. Doesn't that potter, are you there yet? Does not the potter have a power over the clay? That potter is obviously God. Over the clay, that means us. From the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessel of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory. That's what it is, for his glory. Back to John, please, verse 45. This time, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law, and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Please note the word Philip used in verse 45, two words, found him. That's a capital H, okay? Verse 45, "We found him," that is Jesus. Wow. Philip, really? You mean the Messiah Jesus was lost in the universe somewhere? You have to organize search party and go find God? No, that's not what he meant. You all know this hymn, most popular hymn ever written, Amazing Grace. I like this portion particularly. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. So, does it mean that Philip's comment, I found Jesus, is wrong? No, it's not wrong. The God's predestination and election of individual believers were done before the creation of the universe. Those individuals must make their own choice, their own choices to follow the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, please. If you're a Calvinist, so far you liked it, what I've been teaching, and all of a sudden you start to not like me at all, because I'm talking about this portion, human choice. This is what I'm talking about. God talks about predestination as well as human choice in the Bible. How are you going to discard one and accept the other? You cannot. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who's going to repent? God? God never had to repent, correct? Are you with me? Only we are the one who had to repent because we are sinners. See, to repent, you have to make a choice to repent. One more. John chapter 7, please. Verse 37. On the last day, that great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, by individual choice. Scripture after scripture, we find this commandment and command for the unbelievers to respond to the Lord with their own free will and choice by faith. I know that I'm talking about now, what I'm talking about is now really heavy theology. Predestination, election, free will of God, a free will of man. See, if you go to seminary or a Bible college, probably it will take about a year to go through each course. But I'm trying to put that thing in a simple term where we can take a good bite without going overboard. Some have tried to solve this three complicated theology with their own opinions. With their own opinions for the last 500 years. Two of the most well-known schools of theology are Calvinism and Arminianism. We've learned about those two theologies while we're studying the book of Romans. So I gave you the insert. And behind your sermon outline note, there is Calvinism and Arminianism. And I give you why is some of them we disagree, why some of them we agree. And there's a scripture verses you can see. I want you to go home and look at it, what the Bible scripture says. I want you to study. I don't agree with the Calvinism entirely. I don't agree with the Arminianism entirely. So you can call me, I'm a Calvin Arminianist. I had to laugh about the comment that Nathaniel made in verse 46. And can anything good come out of Lazarus? Nazareth. You talk about prejudice. Long ago, my pastor, Robert Ford from Calvary Tucson, while we were attending there, he made this very comment. And then he said, Nazareth was the armpit of Israel as Gallup, New Mexico was the armpit of America. We went home, and my wife said, you know, you should, when you see Pastor Robert again, you should tell him that I'm from Gallup, just to harass him. Well, you know, that weekend, we were invited to the birthday party, and Pastor Robert happened to be there. Since I've been coached by my wife, I went to him. Hey, Pastor Robert, when you mentioned about the Gallup, New Mexico, you offended my wife because she was born there. His face got red and started to stumble. He said, I'm sorry. He said, well, it's okay. Yeah, I'm just pulling your leg. See, somehow you think that I do all the silly, stupid things, a lot of time, and you know, obnoxious things. A lot of times I'm coached by my wife, who has gorgeous, innocent-looking eyes. I'm not going to make that kind of mistake in saying on a particular city of the United States is armpit of America. Many smart people have a hard time understanding coexistence of divine predestination through God's sovereignty and human free will in the Bible. Somehow they think that we should choose one or another. If Bible contains both theologies, who are we to say yes to one and no to another? Didn't we just repeat our own mantra, the Word of God, the final authority, absolute truth? Then if we go against anything it says in here, what did I say at the beginning? We are wrong. As simple as that. I'm so glad I'm not one of those smart people who try to make the matter complicated. You know, this predestination and human free will is very simple to our children. Because what you know what they do? They just read it and they believe it. They don't make it complicated. We adults think that somehow we have to make it complicated. Just read it, accept it as is. So if this is the sum up of what we learn from the Bible. The sovereign, all-knowing God knew who is going to choose to receive Jesus Christ as his or her Savior and Lord by one's free will before the creation. So he simply confirmed it with his predestination procedure. Is that difficult? Is that difficult for you? It's simple to me. Just believe it. Move down to verse 47, please. I can just see some of your eyes and say, "Arr!" That's okay. It's not first time anyway. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before the field of called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." These two verses we find a very important, another theology known as the providence of God. The providence of God. God does not cause or approve of sin, but only limits, restrains, and overrules it for good. The mode of God's providence is altogether unexplainable. We only know that it is the fact that God does govern all his creatures and all their actions with his foreknowledge and is consistent with his own perfection and to his own glory. Am I making sense? Hello, are you guys awake? Some of you are looking at me like a deer looking at headlight. Say what? What did you say? It's not that difficult for you to understand it. God, who had the all-knowing capability, supernaturally prearranged natural event according to his will and people's free will. So does it mean it's a miracle? No, it's not a miracle. A miracle is the intervention of a supernatural power impose or override the natural world. That's a miracle. Finding a parking lot in front of a Walmart on Christmas season, that's not a miracle. It just happened in blessing, yes. Providence comes from the Latin word providentia, which means to see in advance. To see in advance. God sees things in advance, and He called the shot. He called the shot. These two guys, Philip and Nathaniel, are getting schooled in theology in one paragraph, like a little crash course. Move down to verse 49, please. Nathaniel answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He's making a right response. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Oh, that is true. Next 3 years, he's going to find. And he said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you will see the heaven opens and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God, Son of Man, rather. You may know the people like a Nathaniel, who was a very, very analytical. They are not satisfied unless they see the procedure, proof, and evidence, and they want to do their own investigation. Until then, they are not satisfied. Those type of people kind of would drive me crazy, because I'm kind of person who, rather, even though I'm organized, I tend to jump in the things. This can be good and bad because I can get the things done really quickly, but at the same time, I can pay for the price by jumping in. Nathaniel heard what Philip said about this Jesus of Nazareth. In spite of his own prejudice, he came and investigated and find out about Jesus, who the Jesus Christ was. When he came to Jesus, he told Nathanael about the things that no stranger would ever know, like his character and where he was. Nathanael's response to the Lord was the right response, that as I said, he called him the Son of God and the King of Israel. Many people hear the truth when they go to the Bible teaching churches. But the majority of them choose to walk out even though they hear the truth. Remember the phrase that Pilate said to Jesus when he was even interviewing him? And Pilate said this one sentence, what is the truth? And then before Jesus responded, do you know what he did? He walked away. He chose not to hear the truth. And he walked away. You guys know, at the end of almost every Sunday service, I give an altar call. I talk about the gospel. I talk about the salvation message of Jesus Christ. And tell you guys, you cannot go to heaven unless you are born again. You cannot make your way to heaven. Being a good person doesn't cut it. After I give an altar call, when I give opportunity for you to respond, even though I know some of them are flat out non-believers, they choose to walk out the door. Instead of making a right response like Nathaniel did, calling him God and Savior, some people choose to ignore the truth like Pilate did. They walk away from the truth. Don't ever say to God when you meet Him, I never heard the truth. If you come to this church, you will hear the truth. I really don't care what your opinion is. If I care about your opinion, I would do something different. Probably we'll have a much, much bigger church. There are plenty of churches around in America doing things to please people. I'm not here to please you, but I'm here to please the Word of God, please Him, and spread the Word of God as is. And if you decide that you are not going to accept that truth, Your blood is not on me. It's on your own hand. Some people choose not to do it. Let's make another illustration. If you are not born again Christian, please listen carefully. Please listen carefully. Let's say you and your buddy somehow end up in the middle of the ocean, far away from any shore. All of a sudden, you were riding a canoe or whatever, and you capsize, and you end up in the ocean. And because of violent sea, your boat drifted away from you. And all two of you just swimming, trying to keep your head above water. You're getting tired, really, really tired. And you engulfed up the several swallow of the seawater. Now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a big ship comes to you. And the head popped out of a rail and threw this rope toward you. You have a choice. You have a choice to grab the rope, let him pull you up, because you are so tired you cannot do a thing about it. You may say, well, I'm a good swimmer. I can still make my way to safety. Besides, I don't like the color of your rope. And I don't like the way you threw at me. Seems like you are insisting this to me. And then your friend next to you said, forget it. He grabbed the rope and he was hoisted up out of the violent sea into the safety of the ship. See, the person in that ship is God the Father. He loved you so much that he came to you and he sent only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in this case, is the rope. He threw the rope toward you, so all you have to do is just grab it and depend on that rope and so he can pull you up out of the sea. Some people would not do it because of their pride. In this case, in verse 51, Jesus said, "There's angels will go up and down on the ladder. Jesus is the ladder." John chapter 14, verse 6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come to the Father but through me." That means there is no other way. Do you understand that? No other way means no other way. It's not like, I can make my way. No, you don't understand this. Let's sum all this in one application. Even though God's predestination elections are already designated, you all know if you are the one of them, one of the chosen ones by God, until you say yes to the Lord Jesus. Am I making sense to you? If you are not born again Christian, I hope you don't walk out the door without knowing Jesus, without having him, Jesus Christ, into your heart as a Savior and Lord. See, you can come to him with your own free will, or with your own free will, you can choose to walk away from him and end up in hell. Don't ever say God sending people to hell. God doesn't. God makes every possible way for the people to come to know Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We may not understand how you can know everything from the past to the future. But we believe that you are God who knows all things. So we simply rely on your attribute, divine attribute. We are most grateful that you picked us, you chose us, that we may love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.